Well, right on 1 o'clock, the government released two reports from the Interim Climate Change Committee with recommendations on ways to curb the harmful effects of climate change. Dave Frame is a professor of climate change at Victoria University and joins us on the line now. Hi, Dave.
Hi.
Can you give us some background? What exactly is this committee and what is it reporting on?
The government established the committee as a sort of interim step towards making a full climate change commission under the Zero Carbon Act, and they gave them a couple of jobs. One was thinking about renewable electricity, and the other was thinking about how agriculture might interact with the ETS.
And we're mostly looking at the agriculture one today, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. And did they work with the agricultural sector as they were researching this report?
I think so. I didn't have a lot to do with them. They didn't work so closely with the climate change research community, but I think they did, from the report and from what I've heard, they did work quite closely with the agriculture people.
Okay. What were they trying to achieve with this report?
Well, they were trying to figure out a way for bringing agriculture into climate policy, and they, in effect, suggested that it could be brought into the ETS. Emissions from nitrous oxide and methane could be brought into the ETS in a pretty old-school Kyoto-style approach.
Yeah, can you explain that for us? Because most people will not realise that there's much difference between Kyoto and Paris in the way that we look at climate change.
Fair enough. Yeah, sure. So under Kyoto, there was an accounting system developed which sort of pretended that one unit of methane was worth 28 units of carbon dioxide. And that tends to be the way people talk about the problem still. So that's when people say half the emissions come from agriculture, it relies on that accounting method.
Uh-huh.
That accounting method really doesn't fit with temperature targets, which is what we have under the Paris Agreement. So that accounting system is kind of a bit obsolete and a bit broken, and there's an increasing number of papers in the scientific literature that make this point. But the and that's why several agencies over the last year have suggested we treat biological methane in particular differently from carbon dioxide. So there's a sound scientific rationale for separating them, and the Productivity Commission, the Parliamentary Commission for the Environment, Scion and NIWA all suggested split targets and separate approaches for thinking about those two sorts of gases.
Because rather than just as a particular fraction of carbon but doing the same thing, methane has its own interaction with the environment and is worth its own sort of school of thought.
Well, exactly, because it doesn't hang around very long. It has a very strong warming effect while it's up there, but it doesn't hang around very long. And that what it means is that declining levels of methane actually cool the climate, whereas increasing levels of methane warm the climate quite a lot. And this distinction, everyone else who looked at it has found to be important, but the Interim Commission have settled on this kind of old-style Kyoto approach to thinking about the ETS, and that's where I don't really think I don't think it's very convincing in that particular recommendation, because they've landed in a different place than anyone else who's looked at it.
So that's a bit depressing. They're meant to be cutting-edge, you know.
Well, yeah.
Approach to this.
That's true, but that's the way they've gone about it. The silver lining in it all, I think, is that the government haven't actually accepted that recommendation. They've said they want to hear more from more voices, and I think that's a really sensible approach because there were issues with the commission, I think. They had two scientists from one organisation. They didn't have any scientists from any other organisation. They didn't consult with the New Zealand's IPCC scientists about this sort of material. So I think it's a really wise move to say, look, we've heard a few different voices argue for one sort of approach, and these guys are arguing for another. So let's not make a decision just based on the minority view.
Yeah. So what exactly have they recommended? How should we, according to them, deal with methane agricultural sector?
Yeah, well, the recommendation, as I understand it, I mean, I only got this document a few hours ago, so I haven't had a great chance to read it all. But my understanding is that they want to bring methane into the ETS at the producer kind of processor level, methane and nitrous. And there's less argument about nitrous oxide. But they want to bring methane in as well, but at the same time as bringing it in using this old school kind of accounting approach. they want to give farmers a, under the coalition deal, they want to give farmers a 95% free allocation. So environmentally, it's, and when you do that, it's environmentally very unlikely to change behaviour because the price signals are too weak. So environmentalists shouldn't be very happy about it because it's such a weak price signal. So if there were future demand increases in for milk products in Southeast Asia or somewhere, there's nothing to stop us. There's no cap on the methane. There's nothing to stop us increasing our levels of methane to meet that. And so the price signal penalising that would be too small. At the same time, if methane were to drop, methane levels were to drop significantly, it wouldn't be rewarding them right. So, and it also perpetuates the kind of myth in the public mind that accounting system is right, and then that the farmers are getting 95% of their damage free. So I don't really see any winners personally in this kind of approach. Mm. But as I say, the good news is, as well as the report, there's also a government discussion document, so people will have the opportunity to have their say on it as well.
What would be a better way of approaching it then?
I just think the separate regime for biological methane, or the Parliamentary Commission suggested we have one land sector regime and one fossil regime, and that there are different ways of doing it, but something in that area would be reasonable. The Productivity Commission devoted a chapter to this in last year's report. They made some very sensible recommendations. So I think there's some really good thinking out there. It's just a question of kind of finding something that makes a bit more sense than this.
What's this 95% free allocation for farmers? What is that? How does that work, and why?
That I think is a political arrangement. I think it was part of the coalition deal. I don't really understand its genesis or why it kind of is rearing its head here. So I think that's more a question for somebody a little closer to the political system than I am. But it certainly environmentally it doesn't sound very convincing.
All right. But presumably now they will be asking you and people like you for your view on this report and how it might be improved.
Well, the government are giving people an opportunity, which is great. The interim commission, I think, has done its job now. So it would be a shame if the future commission ends up also sort of not moving beyond the Kyoto period. So I think it's great that the government is saying, well, let's hear a bit more about this. It's an opportunity for some fresh perspectives and fresh voices. And so people out there who have interests, who are interested in it, ought to try and get involved, I think.
Great. Dave Frame, Professor of Climate Change at Victoria University. Nice to talk with you today. Thanks for your insight.
Thanks.